All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night. We are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. The IU Hoosiers of Kevin Wilson go for their final chance of winning a home game in the Big Ten against Michigan this weekend, 3:30 on ABC. They've got three games, need to win two to be bowl eligible. So it'd be nice if they get this one this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a little while. The Colts have a bye week, but that doesn't mean they didn't make news yesterday as Chuck Pagano announced that Andrew Luck will be out 2 to 6 weeks with a lacerated kidney. That sounds like it hurts a little bit. Happened on a scramble. You might remember Danny Trevathan sticking his face mask right in Andrew Luck's middle of his chest.
You can see the video at our Facebook page, WGCL Radio, and the whole Colts statement as well. So if you want to see the hit, it's just one of those hits. It does that. I thought there were worse hits on him, but that's the one that
you get him in the right
resulted
spot.
In there. Yeah,
exactly right.
And it's unlucky. It was nothing dirty. It was a football play that just didn't work out. And it could happen to a running back. It could happen to a wide receiver catching a pass. And then that's how it goes.
And it has in the past, but the Colts will be without Andrew Luck for a while, so looking for a backup quarterback as Matt Hasselbeck is now your starter. But before we get to football, the Hoosiers played their second and last exhibition on Monday night. If you were with us on Monday, you heard us talking about what we were seeing on the TV there, and then they have their first game against Eastern Illinois Friday night at the Assembly Hall. But talk a little bit about what we've seen out of two games so far, and Glass, we've talked all offseason and all during the preseason about how this team is going to get better defensively or need to get better defensively. How does it get better defensively? And for a half, certainly, against Bellarmine, 20 points allowed, I think you very much saw that, but lapses in the second half. They end up, Indiana loses the second half 42-38, but wins the game 73-62. But some of those bad habits back again in the second half, and played a lot of players, some of which, of course, are freshmen that are learning their way. But some of it is some of the veterans, honestly, that at some point in time, just the fundamentals on the defensive side of things, they say they're going to get them right. And yet a play like that in the second half of the game on Monday night makes you question whether they really believe they're going to get it right or if it's just going to be literally game to game and half to half.
And as Tom Crean said afterwards, if you think our list of things that we have is really good is bigger than our list of things we need to work on, well, you're crazy. And we're not crazy because we've got two eyes to tell us what exactly we are looking at. And the defensive side of things, I think, is going to be the key because Indiana's offense, and you saw this last night against, was it last night? Monday night.
Yeah.
Again, I was watching this afternoon. I couldn't remember what planet I'm on. Their offense isn't going to bring it every night. And to start with that makes sense because Troy Williams and Yogi Ferrell had what? 43? Of the 72 or 74 or whatever it was.
41, yep.
You had a quiet night from Bryant. You had a quiet night from James Blackman. You had a quiet night from Zeisloft. You had a quiet – just I'll keep going. And the offense isn't going to shoot 60% every night, and you're not going to outscore teams every single night. The reason they beat Bellarmine, Dave, is they were better than Bellarmine. They were more talented than Bellarmine. Bellarmine played some excellent basketball and did things to make Indiana really, really uncomfortable. But what they did wasn't like Navy running the wishbone. It wasn't some kind of, oh, geez, we're just going to see that once a year. It's hard to get ready for it. It's hard to prepare for it.
It's not Grinnell College.
No, there was someone dribbling at the top of the key, and a screen would come from the left, and if they didn't take that one, then one would come from the right, and Indiana had a terrible time in the second half trying to figure out who goes, who stays, pick and roll defense. That's a staple of offense in college basketball these days. That's not something that's going to go away. You have to figure out how to use it. You have to figure out who's going to go, what's going to happen. You saw instances of guys just getting flat-out beat. A guy would catch the ball and dribble around them. Why? Well, that's a question you've got to ask on film. And the film is going to tell the story, Dave. And that's the thing that Tom Crean, he thinks he has a deeper bench. He thinks he has more players that are better basketball players, and I tend to agree with him on that.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of guys are going to get plenty of chances, and plenty of guys that aren't performing might – not see as much court time as they need to, but you can point to Yogi Ferrell, you can point to Troy Williams, you can point to James Blackman, you can point to Thomas Bryant, you can point to Max Bielfeldt. There were breakdowns all over the place against, as Troy Williams said, these are not my words. Troy Williams after the game, man, this isn't the Big Ten.
Yep.
It's not. And these guys are getting shots and getting beaten and beating us. And there were too many examples to count. The pick-and-roll defense stuck out like a sore thumb. They couldn't find number four. I don't know what the kid's name was. I don't listen to the games with sound. I don't want to hear what the broadcasters say. I want to watch. I just want to watch it for myself.
Right.
The kid hit, what, he hit three-pointers in the first 3 minutes and a half?
Yep.
Well, why?
Because he was open and he
made
them.
He was. And they didn't recognize the shooter.
And they only shot 45% in the second half. It's not like they shot lights
75
out.
And hit 9 threes in a row. Right. Exactly right. The other part was you'd see in transition, hey, it's scramble. I got who got, what's got, you got, and then there's guys open. Mm-hmm. So the transition defense needs work. The half court defense needs work. And individual defense needs work. The only guy on that team that you can look at, in my opinion, and say is close to being an elite level defender is Yogi Ferrell because of his cat like quickness.
He's close.
That's what I said. He's close.
Yeah, he's close.
There was a play in the
game. There's a commitment there. They could still be better too.
They all can be better, and there's no doubt about it. Because if they're satisfied where they're at right now, there's going to be some teams that have no problem taking care of this and taking them apart. Mm-hmm. The last play of the first half, timeout, 13 seconds, ball's out of bounds in front of the IU bench. They bring in Williams. Okay, mm-hmm. you heard and you read and followed Twitter and said, the run at the end of the half was with a bunch of second team guys in there. Well, no, it wasn't.
No, and not at the beginning of the first half.
Not at the beginning of the second half either. And that's when they made a big run. And ball goes out front. There's a pick and roll. Everybody switches. Williams has the guy at the free throw line. He drives on him. He backs up the whole way and lets the guy lay the ball in the end of the half. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's expecting help. I didn't know if he was if that wasn't his man or what it was.
Right.
But that's you dribbling at me, and I need to stop you because I know there's only 3 or 4 seconds left. Mm-hmm. I need to get up and you. Now, if he has 2 fouls, he shouldn't be in the game.
Right.
You put him back in at that
point. He only had 2 fouls for the game.
And I'm not picking on Troy here. I'm picking on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
The guy gets the ball 17 feet away from the basket, puts it in his right hand. He is right-handed. He goes to the glass, and Troy slides and backs up out of his way, mm-hmm. and he lays the ball in.
Should he have help there?
Should he stop him
in the center? Well, I agree.
Should he stop a guy from Bellarmine that's right in front of him? He was the one that said after the game, "Hey, this isn't the Big Ten."
No, I agree.
That's
why
I'm
asking.
Going
you.
With that.
Look, we've talked a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit about some of these defensive changes, and we somehow got a video today from the referees saying that they're trying to take physicality out of the game.
Well, you got to be in 3 feet to be physical.
I understand that, but are you supposed to have a guy behind you to take that
Here's
away?
Here's the deal: this is not 14 minutes to go in a 20-point game. This is a down and distance, time and space. You know mm-hmm. there's only 4 or 5 seconds left. There's not a whole lot of choices to be made here of what's going to happen.
He had 2 fouls at half and finished with 2 fouls.
So he brings him back in with 13 seconds left, and maybe there goes.
Two fouls, has to be careful.
I don't know why you would do that anyhow.
That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make any sense. You saw in transition defense, guys were lost. You saw the guys that were shooting threes were too wide open because guys weren't rotating. The backs are to the basketball, and those are fundamental things that Indiana has to get better with because – good teams, and I think Bellarmine was a good basketball team, don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
but they're not as talented to make you pay for it as some other good basketball teams.
They moved the ball well on offense.
And so did Indiana. They put a clinic on.
Yeah,
it's 32-9 or whatever
absolutely.
It was in Indiana.
But it's not Maryland. It's not Michigan State.
But the second half was tough because the other thing that bothered you in the second half was defense was defense. And how many possessions did you have where you dribbled 35 feet away from the basket, and then it was a one-on-one to get a shot?
Mm-hmm.
And the shot's blocked, and you air ball, and you hit the all glass on a three-pointer, and you shoot an air ball from 4 feet in the lane, James Blackman Jr. You can just keep going. Yogi gets mad and takes it on the dribble, gets a shot blocked. There was just mm-hmm. The first 5 minutes of the second half was very difficult to watch because it was all individual basketball.
Yep.
They played so well in the first half, moving it, getting the extra pass, mm-hmm. getting guys open. The best play of the second half, in my opinion, was when they ran a break. Williams brings it to the top of the key, kicks it in the corner to Blackman or to Robert Johnson. Guy runs at him. He kicks it right back to Yogi, steps into a three and nails it. And Yogi got fired up
because
they moved the ball.
Right.
It wasn't
right
stand
guy.
Around
That's
and
right.
watch. If you remember, in the second half, the ball goes out of bounds 20 seconds and a half. It's side out. And these plays just burn in my brain because they were so good in the first half. I wonder what in the second half changes. Blackman inbounds it. Williams inbounds it. Blackman dribbles around, comes to the top of the key, throws it to Troy right in front of the IU bench, 3 feet behind the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
Troy catches the ball, looks at his defender, gives him and shoots a three.
Mm-hmm.
The ball wasn't close to hitting anything.
Mm-hmm.
Troy, go around him. Beat him to the basket.
Right.
Do something. That's not your shot. But those are the things you're going to have to accept. You're going to have to accept because he goes and makes the one-hand tipping. He goes and makes a block. He goes and gets a dunk on the break. He gets a steal and runs out and does all those things.
Right.
But the little things, you can't do that against Michigan State.
No, everybody.
You can't do that against Maryland.
You see a group of 3 or 4 that, and this isn't brand new, that feel the need to have their heat checks a couple times a half.
And they're talented
and
enough to do it. But when it doesn't go in,
yeah,
it's not good. And I can count on Troy made one three-pointer, true or false?
Or is that the first one game? Three-pointer.
Okay. Every other basket he had was from 3 feet in.
Okay. Yeah, true or false? I don't have a stat on that, but makes sense
dunk,
to me.
Dunk,
yeah.
layup, sure. dunk, layup, sure. dunk, and free throws.
I'll buy that.
Well, did anybody stop him 2 feet, 3 feet from the basket?
No.
No. Did he put his head down sometimes and be off balance?
Yeah,
and
a couple of those were transitions. Sure. So.
And then a couple of times he just put his head down and went.
Yeah.
Throws the ball Rear. Up. But those are the things you have to live with. So it's not a perfect, it's not done, it's not a finished product yet, and it shouldn't be in exhibition game number two. And I'm glad Tom Crean pointed out that they do have plenty of things to work on because you saw the pieces of the puzzle in the first half. You saw against Ottawa what they can do when they move the ball and knock down shots.
Mm-hmm.
It's when they fall out of that and decide, you know what, it's my turn.
Right.
That's what it feels like. It's my turn.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
it feels like it's my turn.
Some guys see the need to have to get their shot. Or
the only decent possession in the first five or six possessions of the first half, Bielefeld catches it in the corner,
mm-hmm.
right in front of the IU bench, ball fakes, and since he's knocked a couple of those down and anybody's doing homework,
right.
gets a guy up in the air,
and
takes a dribble, no, and pulls up and shoots, gets fouled and makes it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good basketball.
Yeah.
Why? Because he played within his game.
Yeah,
he didn't
a
shoot a
fakes.
Contested three
right.
with a guy running at you, and you don't block a lot of three-point shots as well. So identifying guys that are lighting it up on defense, you got to find them even if they're not your man. And when you stop moving the basketball and you stand around, Indiana's easy to guard,
mm-hmm.
even though they have that many players, Dave. They have good, talented players, and we know that. But when you stand around and you're dribbling 35 feet away from the basket, it doesn't really put any pressure on the defense.
That's right. So the Hoosiers do beat Bellarmine. It wasn't exactly inspiring. It wasn't inspiring
Which
basketball,
is good because
per
it'll
se.
Keep their attention.
I'm not sure the score needed to be inspiring, but it doesn't inspire you on a 11-point victory. We'll talk a little bit more about that game and look forward to Eastern Illinois when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some programming notes here for you real quick. We got NFL football tomorrow night. Bills at Jets. And Rex Ryan already trolling his former employer in a few different ways. 8 o'clock is a pregame tomorrow night. Kickoff just after 8:30. Friday night, John Callahan and I are heading way down south. In fact, we got to leave tonight to get there. South plays at Castle. For the regional championship, 5A regional championship, Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock and kickoff at 7:30, a revisitation of the Miracle in Paradise from 1983. Folks around here know what that's all about. So that'll be an exciting game for a number of reasons, but of course a regional championship on the line. And while the regional championship is happening, you'll be listening to us here on WGCL, but you'll flip over to BTN Plus. That way you don't have to listen to the kids doing the broadcast for you. And watching IU play Eastern Illinois in their season opener. And, I mean, if there's one thing out of two games, two exhibition games that you've seen at this point in time that you absolutely have to improve before Friday night, is there one thing that you say that's got to happen or this has got to happen?
Yeah,
or
simple for me. It's got to move the basketball because they're hard to guard. They're easy to guard when it breaks down. They're easy to guard when they get in one-on-one circumstances. They are better than Eastern Illinois. They're going to beat Eastern Illinois 99, 97 times out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Illinois, what's the great equalizer in college basketball?
Three-pointer.
You hit 15 of those, you can beat anybody on any given night.
Right.
Indiana has to figure out offensively what their flow is. It can't be stand and watch drives. It can't. You've got too many mm-hmm. weapons, and when those weapons aren't utilized, that's the tough part. And buying into that patience, buying into that ball movement, well, the other team is there to stop you from doing that. So you have to find some other ways.
Well, let me ask you a question about
moving.
That.
And then defense as well. You got to figure out who the best team's player is who can score the basketball, and someone has to be around him at all times.
Let me ask you a question. Moving the basketball sounds simple, but why is it that it doesn't get moved? Is it that simply you got some stubborn kids that sometimes don't listen, don't pay attention, just want to do their own thing? Or something I'm wondering about is, does this team not move the ball, or does this team move the ball better when it gets the movement started out of transition as opposed to starting out of almost a cold 30, if you will?
Transition's always easier to move because players play naturally. Guess what you don't have in transition? Plays called.
Right.
You don't have to remember where I got to go, where do I got to be.
And I mean, if you get down in transition, you get down there quickly, and now you're moving everything around.
Right. Exactly. The secondary break, you've got usually have a direction of, hey, if it's not there the first time. And Indiana's problem isn't that. The problem is not getting up and down the floor and finding the first decent shot. That's not their problem. Their problem is when that stops. Mm-hmm. And then you see the weave move around the top. And then you'll see some action from the baseline to the foul line. And after that stops, then it slows
then
down.
One-on-one.
Then it seems to be like, okay, what's the next action after that action? So what does that mean? You hear Coach Green talk about this all the time, and he's accurate. If you kind of screen, you're kind of not open. If you don't cut hard, you're kind of not open. And guys aren't going to try to throw passes in spaces that aren't
there. So you think it's just lackadaisical at that point?
I don't think it's crisp enough. And maybe because it's the 20-hour practice time, maybe because Brian's foot's been in a boot, maybe because Hartman's been hurt, maybe because James Blackman's been slow coming back from a knee. But the easiest thing to do is take the ball and do it yourself.
Right.
That is going to be every team would love for Indiana to have a couple players every night fall in love with their game and not worry about guarding Zeisloft in the corner and not worrying about where James Blackman Jr. is and not having to worry about anything from Bryant. How many times did they throw it in the post last night?
Not many.
Not many. You got a 6'11 guy there who was by far the best post player on the floor.
Four shot attempts in 16 minutes.
And okay, the minutes, is it a foot problem? Is it a minutes thing? Great, but if you're not using Bryant in the box, how many times you see him catch it?
16 shots in 23 minutes in the first game. So it's not like he can't get him the ball.
And where did he get, and he took a three from the top of the key, which
one
was one
in
of
each
those
game.
One of those three pointers. I think he took two in the first game.
One he's credited with.
One three in the first game.
In the
first
game.
Took a 19 and a half footer right at the top of the key. And he has a lovely shot.
Yeah.
But he's 6'11", and he's catching the ball with his back to the basket at 19 feet, waiting for guys to run off him and cut off him. Mm-hmm. Well, if those guys don't run and cut off him hard, then you just flip it out to the side again. But you never saw a commitment of trying to get him the ball in the post and letting him go against those guys and then spread out your shooters or spread out your cutters. You did in the first game. So I don't know if Indiana's not revealing their hand or they don't want people to know that's how it's going to be.
Right.
It was a distinct difference, I thought, watching them play Ottawa, and a distinct second-half difference of how they played Bellarmine. Now, Bellarmine had something to do with that. They're a better basketball team than Ottawa. That's definitely for sure. They had more height.
More size.
They had more size. They had bigger.
They play well
more
together.
Physical kids as well. But for Indiana to use those weapons effectively and move the court, you can't have. You have to have movement. You have to have sharp cuts. You have to have sharp screens. You have to have guys get open. Because if it's predicated off the dribble, then how many guys you see breaking guys off the dribble? Yogi, number one.
Yeah.
Blackman's decent at it.
Decent.
Rob Johnson isn't as 100% confident as I'd like him to be with
Nobody can when he is.
Troy's easy to guard because the pass usually comes out of his hand. It's too hot.
Troy can blow by you, but at the same
Where's
time, he can bounce it off his own ankle.
Exactly right. He had three jump passes on the baseline yesterday in the second half.
Right.
One turnover.
We don't know anything about the freshman other than Bryant. I'm not sure you want Bryant driving from very far away. We haven't seen
so that would
lot,
be
really.
Simple for me would be to throw him the ball in the post, whereas it's the most active position and accurate position. So they have room to build on the offense, but they have enough talent where they showed you in that game. They were outscored in the final 22 minutes of that game, 48-38.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. Whether you like it or not, that's not up to me. Those are what the numbers are going to tell you. And the point is, when jump shots aren't going in, when one pass and a shot isn't going in, you've got to find something else to work on. You've got to find somewhere else to get it. And Dave, how many points did they create in transition? You saw a few of them because they were active defensively. But when you let teams run their stuff, and then you have to get a rebound, and you don't get a rebound, and they put it back in, you have to be on point. And I think Tom Crean did a really good job of talking about that in his post game. He said, hey, if you start or you're on the bench and you come in, you got to produce.
You got to go
away.
You got
to know where you're going.
Right now.
You can't ease into things.
Yeah, you don't get 2 minutes to figure
it out. And that's kind of where I was going at. It's like, okay, you came off the bench and you don't know that number four has just hit two threes in a row.
Right.
You have to know. What are you watching over there? You have to pay attention. And to get to that level, as Coach was talking about, mentally and physically, that's not ready yet.
Does that have anything to do with a lot of fans' complaints about the rotations not being set rotations and them wanting to keep everybody ready all the time? Clearly,
he
I mean, the question
not
is, does
be a true two deep
but,
until but, we get to that
but,
level.
But there's ultimately a question to me, and this you can play this anywhere, sports or anywhere else for that matter. You can say you want everybody to be able to do everything,
right?
Or sure you can realize that not everybody can do everything.
Shortstops at shortstops, pitchers at pitchers, catchers at catchers.
And at some point, you got to have the people doing what they're good at.
The biggest criticism is, and I don't know if this is a criticism or not, you can't make it to the first TV timeout of any game without a sub. It's 4 minutes. They're not paying a half here.
Again, is that important?
You just asked me if continuity.
Well, I know. I'm asking if it is. I don't know.
Obviously, to them, it's not, because you see lineup after lineup after lineup after lineup after lineup.
Right. Well, it didn't matter in the first half.
Exactly. When he says, "Hey, I'm looking for combinations, or I'm looking for guys that play well together, and they're getting 2.5 minutes. Is that enough time to figure that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That might be new school basketball where you got to play all these guys to keep them all happy. I don't know how that works.
Well, let's go back to the original part of that, because you said this right. I mean, this is what Tom Crean said. When we put you in the game off the bench, you don't have a minute and a half or 2 minutes
to get ready.
Right. You've got to be ready to go right now. Is that a reasonable expectation?
Absolutely it is, because they should be fighting for minutes in practice. And when you get a chance to shine, you better go out there and shine. You better go out there and pay attention to what's going on.
Sure.
There's a reason Colin Hartman was the first guy off the bench last night, I'm guessing. Because he's doing it in practice. Juwan Morgan was the first guy in the other game. That's not a knock on Juwan Morgan, but I think he was the fourth guy off the bench last night.
Yeah.
Or Monday night. So, again, you're going to get your chance. And I didn't think Morgan played poorly in the first game, but it's a matchup deal. Crean talks about that every game. I don't know who I'm going to play. I don't know who I'm going to start. We've got to see how it matches up and how it goes on, which makes it even more imperative that if you're going to get 2 minutes, you better be in the game.
Better be ready
to go. And getting after loose balls and getting after rebounds, those are some things. Indiana is going to rebound very well because of their athletic nature.
Yeah.
There's no argument.
And they've done that through two games. Granted, they're better athletes.
You saw a couple times in that second half where, we think he's going to make it. He missed it. He got his rebound. I'm sneaking. I'm all right at the free throw line. I'm out of the picture, and you're 6'7".
Yeah.
Now, come on. Is it Hollywood dunk time? Oh, it's fine. Go ahead. But those are the little things that people will scout you and say, he leaks out, so crash. Mm-hmm. You go. He's got to guard you on the other. You got to guard. We'll take care of you. You go crash. Because those are little things you have to figure it out. Last year, what did we hear? Guards have to rebound. Guards have to rebound. Guards have to rebound. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody has to rebound because you want the ball. Less possessions for your opponent gives you, obviously, a better chance of winning the game.
Farrell, 8 rebounds. James fantastic. Blackman didn't have any in the first game. He had 4 last night. Right. Colin Hartman, 6 last night.
Good. And I think spreading that wealth out, and Bryant had 11 in the first game, right? How many did he get
last
night?
Yes, he had 8 last night. Great. No, he did not. I'm sorry. No, he had 5 last night. Right. Troy and Yogi both had 8.
To lead the way on all of that. And when you have multiple people doing it, that's the good news. And the other thing last night that jumps off the page is the scoring was highly unbalanced because, in my opinion, the offense broke down too many times, and those are the two guys that have no problem getting
that
their shot when they need to get their shot happening. And it's not a bad thing. It's just, for me, Dave, it's not an optimal thing, which is different, because good teams, as you saw in the Final Four last year, it wasn't all Frank Kaminsky.
Right.
It wasn't all Jahlil Okafor. It was, look,
Sam
there's
Decker
Grayson
was
Allen.
Phenomenal.
There's Grayson Allen. There's Quinn Cook and all those other guys for Duke and everybody else. Yep. So you've got to have – if you want – and I'm going to preface this. I should – it sounds like I'm being harsh. I'm not. If you want to be an elite basketball team, this is
you
got to
be
that
good.
Happen.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Indiana's going to win. I'll tell you right now. How many games they play? 30-ish. They're going to win 21 of them, 22 of them by getting off the bus. I think they're that talented. I think they're that talented. Yeah. I think that's a fair statement.
Reasonably,
Give me the Big Ten road schedule, and that's I'll throw those in. The Final Four at Maui is going to be tough. You got a road game. Where's they don't play Louisville this year, do they?
No.
You got Notre
at
Dame.
Duke.
And Notre Dame. Will
Notre
be a
Dame
tough
and
game.
Indy. Creighton
okay.
here.
Okay. So again, you got 4 or 5 road games in the Big Ten, and 4 or 5. So that's 22-8, right?
No, sure.
So
that
I think
makes
that's
sense.
Fair because I think they're good enough to be that way. If they want to be great and elite, they've got plenty to work on, and that's a good thing because you know what? You always have a team's attention when you have things to work on. If you're beating teams 106-20 that you think are pretty good,
look,
not a problem
James
either.
Blackman is too talented to go 1 for 5 and score 2 points.
Is he on limited minutes? Is his knee bothering?
22 minutes, this team needs more out of him on that end because he's not a stopper on the other end, and he's too good. Got to take a quick break. Hoosiers play Eastern Illinois on Friday night, but we'll move over to the gridiron when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. We move over to the gridiron, where the Hoosiers bring Michigan to town. Michigan of Jim Harbaugh, certainly having a good first season in Michigan.
So did Brady Hoke.
Yes, he did. Well, he's taken a good defense. This was a good defense last year for Michigan. Yeah. It was. And he's taken it, coach. Made it a little better.
It's a joke, folks. He's a good coach.
Has also, what he has done on the offensive side of the ball, and this is where this gets interesting on Saturday to me. On the offensive ball side of the ball, he has taken the quarterback that C.J. Beathard beat out at Iowa. Right. He was a starter most of last year, Jake Grudock was. C.J. Beathard got named the starter right after their bowl game. For the coming season. So Jake Rudolph looked for a place to land. He landed at Michigan. He is not putting up phenomenal numbers. He's doing a decent job as quarterback of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh likes him. He likes him because he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. The biggest difference on the offensive side of the ball out of Michigan is that they were minus 18 in turnover margin last year. That's insanely bad. And you can put that on the shoulders of Devin Gardner for 2 years because it was bad for 2 years. Yep. But that was a haphazard, chaos-based offense. Now this is a physical, we want to run the ball, we want to make smart decisions off of play action with a quarterback who can do so, and they're back to about even or so. They're not killing it on the turnover margin because they are turning the ball over a little bit, but they're also not getting their brains beat in on them, and it's solid football, and that's why they're winning.
Let me read you some numbers that are awfully solid.
Please do.
Lost at Utah, gave up 24. One Oregon State gave up 7. One UNLV gave up 7. One BYU gave up 0.
Now it gets interesting.
At Maryland, 0. Northwestern, 0.
That's 3 straight.
That's 3 straight, and the 2 before that were 7.
Yeah.
That's 5 straight. Yeah. Unbelievable defensive performances.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the Michigan State game, that was 21 before the 6 got ran back, kicked the – or, I'm sorry, it was 23-20. It was 20. So that's only 2 touchdowns is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Minnesota 26. I don't know how many field goals were in that game, and 16 for Rutgers. Those are numbers.
Those are numbers. To be fair, not a lot of those are great offenses.
They're not.
But again, to put up those to put up 3 shutouts in a row, 2 of which are in the Big Ten, is amazing. It really is. They play really good defense.
240 yards, 80 on the ground. So you saw what Iowa gave up 88 last week. Mm-hmm. Their average. Indiana ran the ball against them. Did a nice job against
that. Yes, they
did. So the thing with, I think, Michigan, that would be the deficiency maybe that Iowa had some quickness. Their quarterback was quick. That back was quick.
Yes.
And Iowa didn't make any mistakes. That was the other point of the
matter. I think Iowa is better on offense than Michigan is.
Yes.
And I think that's Michigan's the interesting part about this is the Indiana defense has more of a chance to make some plays like we saw in the first 4 games of the year this week than they did last week.
Yeah, Rudock's got 7 picks.
And they don't have the athletic quarterback to make you pay for mistakes that Iowa had last week. Iowa's not a flashy offense. They're not a huge playmaking offense.
But that kid made plays.
But they're a little better than Michigan is. Michigan has solidified their offense so it isn't a huge liability like it was the last 2 years.
Rudock
and that's why they're
stuck
better.
In the pocket. He might not make as many plays rolling out.
You can get pressure on him.
Killed it. There was 3 or 4 plays Beathard made all by himself.
His feet, no question.
And then the receiver, all he had to do was hold on the ball when it got to him. The play to kill the game, the touchdown run around left end, and the unbelievable throw, which who makes that throw on the road in the Big Ten? He was that confident. He made that throw.
Yep.
So Rudock maybe isn't going to hurt you that way. But it just seems like every time Indiana plays Michigan, there's some guy in the 124 maize and blue helmets over there that's never done anything, and you've never heard of him before, and then he gets 218 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns whatever it is.
Michigan has always had more talent than IU.
Yes.
It's always been an issue. I want to tell you something, though, here. We talk about the IU defense against the Michigan offense first because, at least I think, we've got the IU defense has a chance to hold that down into a reasonable area. And that's important, of course, because what is the IU offense going to do against the best scoring defense in America? Michigan is ranked number 1 in the nation scoring defense at 11.9 points a game.
Yeah, not surprised.
Here are some other teams that are in the top 20 or so. Ohio State's number 6 at 15.
Indiana scored 27 points.
Iowa's number 8 at 16.5.
27 points.
Penn State is 14th at 17.7.
Throw it out. Because no weapons that day.
And I throw that in only because we've faced
division.
These guys.
Yeah.
We faced these kinds of defenses, ones that are very talented and make it very hard on you to score and put up points when we've been at our
healthy
regular strength.
And they're splitting hairs now. and it shouldn't be a shock to the system. It shouldn't be a shock to the playbook, and it shouldn't be a shock with the physicality.
This offense has shown it can put up some numbers against good defenses. It won't score 80. I mean, that's stupid. But, you know, you put up 27 this weekend. Maybe even that's too much to ask. I think the defense can – this is the game where the defense you might come out of going, you know what, damn, that was awesome. The defense really – put us in it, and the offense manages to score enough in retaliation, I'd be really disappointed this week in particular if Michigan puts up 35 points, because they're not that good of an offense, in my opinion.
Well, they're averaging 30 a game. Be aware of that. And they really haven't – their big game that floated their boat was the 49 against Rutgers. That moved the number up. Remember, they only scored 17.
38, I think, against BYU.
Northwestern. Yeah. But, again, they're finding ways to score – and their defense is making plays to help that happen. But here's what Indiana, you can talk about the defense till you're blue in the face. It's an easy target, and I'm not saying you're wrong. But you can't have your quarterback go 16 of 37 at home.
No, it's got to be better.
You can't have that. You can't have your running back that had 177 yards not play two out of the last three series in the fourth quarter.
Let me go back on
There's issues in there against a good team.
Nate Sudfeld doesn't have to have a 75% completion percentage. He's got to be smart about the ball. He's got to put it in the right spots. His guys have got to make a couple plays for him rather than dropping passes.
Amen.
I mean, all of that has to happen. So statistically, it doesn't have to be an amazing game, but it does have to come at the right times.
And you
can't continue to get your brains beat in the fourth quarter.
He has to execute in areas where field goals aren't going to beat Michigan. You have to find ways to get the ball, whether it's another first down or to get the ball in the end zone. And I know it's not easy against a really good defense like that. But, again, nobody had scored over 24 against Iowa, Dave, and the Hoosiers got 27. That has to be a positive momentum going forward, because the quarterback didn't play at the level you'd think as a senior. It's his final home game. It's senior day. You got all that hullabaloo going on. Those are things 18 to 23-year-old kids work a little bit differently than professional athletes. That stuff matters to them. You get a little bit more geeked up. But I don't think there's any part of the ball that can take any of the – you have to make special teams plays. You can't let guys run punts and kickoffs back on you. You have to punt well. You have to change the field on it. Make that offense work from 90 yards instead of 65 yards. That's the thing. If they're going to keep that offense on the field, they're probably – again, nothing jumps out of here and says, oh, my gosh, you don't want to have Michigan have the ball all day. That doesn't jump off there and tell you that.
Right.
So Indiana has been so close. And you've brought it up against these good defenses. It hasn't been 28-3, and the Hoosiers are toast.
Right.
I'm throwing the Penn State game
in the fourth quarter.
That's the deal. That's the next step. The next step is getting into the ring. You're in the ring now. It's fighting out the final 3 minutes of the last round of the match. You can't be out on your feet. How do you do that? You stick it to Michigan. You talk about a team that offensively might be a little bit challenged, perhaps. A little bit, maybe not as good as Iowa. Again, what's the best offense? Get out and score.
Mm-hmm.
Get out and get them out of their rhythm. Get them out of their game plan. That's the next step Indiana has to make, because all these statistical numbers don't mean anything if you can't win these football games.
Well, exactly.
And that's the tough part.
It's hollow.
And you're young and you're old. Well, you got a senior quarterback that's been around for 100 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to help you on Saturday. He can't manage the game. He has to help you win the football game.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's making the right checkdowns, if it's making the right decisions, that's all part of it. But Indiana, Dave, when was the last time the Hoosiers ever won a game in the last 5 years? 13-10, 14-12. They don't play that way, my point. So they don't.
And that's on purpose.
So
on
they don't.
Part,
they, the they don't. They don't play that way. So what do they have to do? They have to score.
They have to score.
They
absolutely
have to they, score. They, and that they, all starts with the guy under center.
They've created an offensive team, and therefore the pressure is all on the offense to keep it up.
Why I put that on.
Not just score 60 points, but not go away when you need them in a key spot. Also,
you can't have both
pressure
ways.
Is always on the offense to do something.
That's right. You can't have your defense making stops in the fourth quarter and wondering where the offense.
And I say it again, the last five games, the Hoosiers, or at least four of the last five games, the Hoosiers have gotten annihilated in time of possession. And I'm telling you, you want to help the defense out here a little bit, give them a little help, hold on to the ball a little bit, limit the other team's offensive chances.
And
so teams are trying to do to you, and it's working for them.
And throw and you can throw it right back in the defense and say, make a play.
Sure.
Knock the ball out.
Sure.
Get to the quarterback.
Sure.
Get him to
they haven't
you.
Had any turnovers
rush.
Recently.
What was the last sack they had?
I don't think it was last weekend, was it? Did they have one last weekend?
They had some pressures, but it seemed like Beathard got away from everything because he's quick. Maybe Rudock doesn't. But again, can you blitz a little bit more against Michigan because they don't have maybe that angle that Iowa has?
Yeah. They blitz all the time. I mean, so they're aggressive with it. But they just don't make the plays.
Who's got the better receiving core, Michigan or Iowa?
That's a good question.
It's tough. It's close. Iowa's got better.
I wouldn't say Michigan has a lot of playmakers on its team either.
Again, so the defense has to make plays. The offense has to make plays. And, again, it has to be a game where it's in the 30s for Indiana to win for me. I think that's they need to be in the 30s to win. You've seen 27 with Ohio State. You've seen 27 with Iowa. Again, places a lot of teams don't get with these guys.
No, it's fair.
And it wasn't enough.
Look, if Michigan averages 30 on offense, our defense gives up more than most teams, average. So you got to expect you got to score more than they average.
And do it.
It would just be nice to maybe make this one the outlier.
Let it fly, baby. Just grip it and rip it.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Friday night, we've got regional championship football with South going down to Castle. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and kickoff is 7:30. John Callahan and I will be on the call for that. Looking forward to heading down to Castle, revisit the miracle in paradise.
And please don't forget, you can listen to that game at WGCLradio.com as well as all of our high school games. So if you've got relatives or anybody else that's,
all over the nation.
It's big region. And the world. You get the internet. That's right. Go ahead. Load it up.
And I'd be listening to it live if I weren't doing the game.
No charge. Free as it gets. Thanks to all our sponsors for making that happen. Slow to Glare After Legal online.
And then Saturday, we've got a pair of college football games. 11:30 a.m. pregame for Ohio State at Illinois. And then in the evening, pregame at 7 o'clock for Oregon at Stanford.
Big games.
And then on Sunday, Colts have a bye, but we have NFL tripleheader as 12:30 Miami at Philadelphia. At 4 o'clock, Kansas City is at Denver. And then the 7:30, the evening game is Arizona at Seattle. So we got all kinds of it.
12 hours
this
of football
weekend.
More on Sunday.
More
Enjoy.
And more football. Before we leave the Hoosiers, let's get some predictions here. IU at Michigan, 3:30 on Saturday on ABC.
Well, if I said they're going to beat Iowa, why am I going to get off of if I'm going to play a team that's not as perhaps as good as Iowa?
Losing? I don't know.
That's, I'm gonna root for the Hoosiers. And I think you made a good argument as to why. They're not as good as Iowa. And Indiana gave Iowa plenty to think about. And Iowa was rewarded by hitting the top, just missed out on the new four poll. They went from 10 to 5.
To 5.
For beating Indiana on the road. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you somebody thinks something of our football program, and I'm one of those people. It's not a do-or-die game for Indiana football, but it's getting close because the math tells me two road wins will end the season, or the season will end if they're not road wins. That's the problem. And Indiana's record on the road in the Big Ten isn't very good. Nope. I think it starts with one and ends with one, and 2012 was the last time that perhaps happened at Illinois, I believe it was. I could be wrong. When you can't remember it and you can't point to the one, that means you've had a little pain and suffering. But if the Hoosiers can play three phases of football decently, keep themselves out of penalty situations, dumb penalties, and get off the field on third and a mile. Again, this recipe that they've put out there hasn't been, what are you doing?
Right.
It's been okay. Get off the field on third and 14.
Let's make a play time.
Get off the field on third and 17. Don't put yourself in third and 17 on offense and catch the football. Score touchdowns. Indiana can win the football game. I don't think they will win the game, but I'll give you my homer pick anyhow. Indiana wins the game 38-32 because the sun finally shines down on Jim Harbaugh's brother-in-law's football team. Yeah, I think that's how that
Whatever.
Goes. That's close.
I'm going to go with the Hoosiers for this one. I told you they'd lose to Iowa. I thought Iowa was a better football team, a very solid football team. And here's the problem with the Iowa versus Michigan. Iowa doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
No, they don't.
And they force you into making a lot of mistakes. And they're talented to begin with also. But, Indiana's a team that makes mistakes. And so teams that don't make mistakes take advantage of you in that case. Michigan, to me, still just makes some mistakes, especially on the offensive side. They do. They make enough. And to me, this is a game where the defense can step up, and again, it's not going
to have to.
It's not going to go down in the annals of IU football by winning this game with some defense, but it's certainly going to at least get back to what it was earlier this year. I think it can do that. I think it can create a couple turnovers and keep you in the game. I think the Hoosiers win 31-25.
Only give up 25.
Well, all right. Again, this is, you know, the more likely thing, I mean, to be fair, the more likely thing based on everything we've seen, our cynicism is that IU will give up 40 points to Michigan because that's what IU's defense does to teams.
And it'll be a no-name guy that gets you for three touchdowns.
Eventually here, that defense has to step up and be better than its averages.
I think projection is more accurate than prediction. According to Hoyle, this should happen. And that if Indiana's going to win the ball game, there is not one person, I don't think, that would sign up for 17-14. 17-16, 20-19, that doesn't register.
That's probably not how Indiana's going to win.
The only way that would win is it's 6 turnovers, 7 turnovers total, and it's 4-3, and you're just shifting field the whole time, and whoever kicks the last field, I'll take it. Don't get me wrong, I'll take it, but that's just not how it has
punting
been.
Battle.
That's not how it's been, and you look at Indiana's first 4 wins against different competition, I get it, it's points. Points and points. And Indiana's best ally can be running out and getting Michigan off schedule, make them change their game plan to have to get back in the game, and maybe force Rudock back there a few more times to throw than they would like, and give that defense, who has been good. I'm going to give them credit. They've been good. They haven't been great. They've been good, and good is better than where they were last year because they've taken some better teams, Dave, and given them things to worry about late in games. Not as late as we'd like in games from a fan standpoint, but it has definitely gotten better, and there is hope on the horizon.
The other gridiron in the area is up north in blue and white. And Andrew Luck will not be on it for several weeks now after having a lacerated kidney. What's the other part of it, they said?
A torn abdominal
muscle. So
you don't know what that
involves. They say that shouldn't involve, either one should involve surgery, so it's healing up at this point in time. Look, Andrew Luck, since when he was in college, did some silly things with himself physically and didn't pay attention. So it was only kind of a matter of time. What irritates me has always been you don't need to get him hit in the meantime. I understand this was a scramble, most likely.
Yeah, that had nothing to do.
That he got hurt on. Again, he is that kind of quarterback where he's going to run and get himself into physical spots. I don't think you can ask him not to do that. What you can do otherwise is make it easier for him to stand back there.
John Elway took an absolute beating for 15 years in the NFL. Beating.
Yeah, and he ran around.
He ran his first 4 or 5 years until what happened? They got him an offensive line and a running game, and then John Elway sat in the pocket and carved up defenses for the next 10 years.
And then he could go run on an absolutely
needed
third and five and spin himself sideways
once a
game.
It's a great analogy.
You give a guy an offense.
John Elway looked just like Luck.
Yeah.
He made Denver's chicken, you know what, into chicken and chicken salad.
Andrew Luck's best aspect is not his legs. It's a great aspect to have. His best aspect is his brain and his arm, and you got to protect that. Folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday. Enjoy your full weekend of football here on WGCL, and we'll talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.